Lexington. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
And good morning, and welcome back to the second hour of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers for the show, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal. For the first hour, Kyle Mabry was at the controls, and Henry Frain has now taken over. In this part of Focus 580, we will be talking about a couple of traditional forms of physical exercise. Maybe that's really not saying adequately what they are, but on one level, that's what we're really talking about. Traditional forms of physical exercise that have been practiced in China for a long time, Tai Chi and Qigong, and perhaps people have heard about these things, or they have maybe even seen people practice Tai Chi. These things have been done in China for a long, long time because people genuinely felt that there were many sorts of benefits to their health, both physically and they perhaps might also say emotionally and spiritually as well. In recent years here in the United States, growing numbers of Americans have also begun to practice these traditional forms and found that there are quite a number of benefits. They would say that they feel that their mood is improved by this practice, their strength, their energy, and also there seem to be a number of other benefits as well. It has been argued, at least by some folks, that practicing Tai Chi can not only reduce stress, but do things like lower your blood pressure and improve your blood sugar and perhaps improve the functioning of the immune system, and a very wide range of benefits. In this part of the show, we'll be talking with someone who has been really a truly lifelong practitioner of Tai Chi and Qigong and also has been an instructor for quite a long time, and his name is Yang Yang. He is director of the Center for Tai Chi Studies of Champaign and New York City. He is also an adjunct professor of kinesiology at University of Illinois, and in the year 2006 was named Qigong Master of the Year by the 9th World Congress on Qigong and Traditional Chinese Medicine. Also joining in the studio, we have two guests that have been participants in a study that Dr. Yang has been involved in, because one of the things he was particularly interested in was potential benefits of Tai Chi practice for seniors, senior citizens. And here in the studio, we have two people who have been involved in this study, Alice Cheska, and also Dr. Bob Zeiders. And Dr. Zeiders is a retired physician from Carl Clinic, whose special area of practice was rheumatology. So they can talk about some of their personal experiences. And I would be pleased to, obviously, for anybody who's listening, if you have questions, to call in and be a part of the conversation. 333-9455 is the number here for Champaign-Urbana, and toll-free 800-222-9455. At any point, calls and questions from people listening are welcome. Well, thank you all very much, all three, for being here.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. Let me, I guess, begin by asking Yang Yang to talk a little bit about what the two things that we're talking about. And I think maybe the first question to ask is to ask about Qigong. Because Tai Chi, I think Qigong is sort of an umbrella term. Tai Chi comes under that. So, Qigong, what is that?
Qigong is a term describing the ancient Chinese exercise. Qi means vital energy. It's a Chinese medicine term. And Gong means exercise. So, Qigong together means the art of cultivating and nurturing our energy.
Mm-hmm. And now, it's my understanding that while it is an exercise form, and you do movement, that breathing is very important in Qigong.
In Qigong, there's basically two big categories. One is the static Qigong, basically means no movement, it's meditation, mm-hmm. in three forms, standing, sitting, lying down. And also, another category is dynamic Qigong, which has this breathing, deep breathing, and in that sense, and Tai Chi form, it's also a moving Qigong, kind of moving Qigong. Mm-hmm.
So. Now, Tai Chi, something that actually, and of course, you always correct me if I'm incorrect here, but as something that, as my understanding, is actually started as a martial art?
It was, yes. It was created as one of the powerful martial art. And but we have to point out that in the East, you know, when you train martial art, it's not just about a kick and a punch. You start from your spiritual part, your emotional part, and then you have to nurture, to have a peaceful mind before you can really nurture your energy, become strong, and then become more confident and become healthy. Mm-hmm. Then you can be a martial artist. Mm.
That's why I think it's it is, well, it's correct to say that these are systems of physical exercise, that's not a complete description, perhaps, of what it is that we're talking about, because it involves more than simply going through a prescribed set of movements.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Well, let me ask our other guests here to I'll turn first to Alice Cheska. How did you become involved with doing Tai Chi?
It was in 1974 that it was suggested to me to have some acupuncture. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't any facility here in Urbana-Champaign. So I drive to Chicago every week and have acupuncture there because of my back problems. And after a year, my back problems went away, actually. And I was totally amazed and happy. And so the next time I was introduced to Eastern alternative medical forms was when I heard about Yang Yang. Hmm. And by then, my arthritis of my knees, and I need to talk to the doctor over here, developed to the point where I thought maybe I should try Tai Chi. Hmm. And I was lucky to be in the original research group that Yang had as he was working on his doctorate here at the University of Illinois in my department, kinesiology. So after finding that it was helping, and when the program finished, a lot of us continued in the program because it really was helping. So that's how I became introduced to Tai Chi and Yang Yang, and it's had a very refreshing part of my life.
Mm. So now how long have you been doing Tai Chi?
About 4 years.
4 years. Yeah. And what would you say were the benefits?
Well, helping to relieve the pain of arthritis in your knees was a very major point, and, mm-hmm. and it did help, and it continues to help. So I find that Tai Chi, from that standpoint, minimizing pain was important to me. And then after doing the Qigong, which is the meditation part, I found that I was calmer and that I was able to face crises more effectively because of that. Mm. And the association with our friends doing it. I live at Clark Lindsay Village, if I may just mention this.
Sure.
And we have an instructor there, one of Yang's trained instructors, Paula Martin, and she's very good. And so our group continued, and we're now what is called the advanced group. I'm not so sure we're advanced, but anyway. And then she started a beginning class. So that's worked out beautifully, and she does accept people from the community. So that's an important part of Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning.
Let me turn to Dr. Ziders and ask you the same question. How did you get involved in doing Tai Chi?
I had a personal health problem. I was driving home from work one day, and I don't know why. I was going south on Lincoln Avenue, looked down, and I saw that my right thigh was smaller than my left. But I'm right-handed, so it should be larger, if not the same size. Went home, measured it, and both my thigh and my calf were smaller. Went to my doctor. He measured it, and he said, yes, you've got a withered leg.
Oh.
After many diagnostic studies, I realized I had a sciatic nerve problem that anatomically and structurally would not improve. I had discovered this is rather humorous. I was dressing one morning, and I had my pants on my right leg, and I was trying to get my left leg in. But I kept falling, and I kept hitting my left foot. My wife joked and said, "What are you doing, counting your age and like a horse?" And so I tried putting them on the other way, left leg first, which I'd never done, and it went fine. And I realized I also had impaired proprioception in the right leg due to this. I went to my physician again. He tested the leg, and he said, "Your leg is weak. Your leg is small. You're going to have to live with it." Mm-hmm. And I thought, I know where he's coming from, and that is true for a physician to say. But it was not good enough being the patient. Fortunately, Dr. Young was giving a conference at Carl, and he was the last speaker in the morning. And he talked about some dissociation of structure and function, and he talked about the difference between treating and healing. Having practiced medicine for 40 years, I'd become very aware of the difference between treating and healing. You can die of a disease that was treated but not cured, but you can be healed or at peace when you die. And healing, given all the conditions that cannot be fixed medically, healing is very important. It has to do with our acceptance of our problem. I begged Dr. Young to have lunch with me when we had our lunch break. And I said, "I'm very interested in what you're talking about." In fact, I asked the question from the audience about Tai Chi, Qigong, and spirituality. And I believe it was that point you said, "Oh, that's interesting. That's chapter 17 of my new book." And I thought, this is the man. He has been sent to me. And so we had lunch, and he said that physicians really weren't that interested in Tai Chi and Qigong. And I said, "Well, have you ever asked any?" And he said, "Well, no." And I said, "Well, we need a lot more than what we have. We are limited in what we can do with physical therapy, medications, and surgery." He was starting a program. He asked me to give some thought on how to quantitate the arthritis and confirm that they had the right type of arthritis for the study. And I blackmailed him to saying, "I won't help you unless you lower the age of the study by 2 years so I can get in it." And the study started out as a 3-month study. I went to the Windsor of Savoy and joined their group, where I was amazed at the improvement in the number of people over the age of 90 who vastly improved. I was also impressed with what happened to me. It was so popular with the people there, as it was at Clark Lindsay, that the program went on for 9 months. It kept getting extended, which was just wonderful because the benefits kept accruing. Perhaps 3 to 6 months after that Tai Chi study, Young was asked to speak at a medical meeting during the dinner hour on the benefits of Tai Chi. And he asked me if I would say something, and I took a microphone. I have no trouble talking. And I talked for probably 3 minutes. And I was standing there telling them the story about getting into my trousers and having problem doing it because I couldn't stand on my right leg. And then I pointed out at the end of speaking for 3 minutes, which I dragged out intentionally, I said, "Only those that are right beside me notice I'm standing with my left foot 4 inches above the ground, and I have been for 3 minutes, and I've not been wobbling. My leg is still withered. It is still weak. But I regained function, even though the structure is still as damaged as it had been." And that's where the concept of healing comes in, probably also neuroplasticity of the nervous system, where other parts can take over functions, but that may be a mechanism of action. Be that as it may, irrespective of the mechanism of action, my life became better for this, and I'm a real proponent of it. I can hardly conceive of a medical condition that would preclude people participating in this, and I think the benefits are truly immense as far as strength, balance, confidence, And if you look at public health problems, the reduction of falls, training in Tai Chi reduces hip fractures by about 50%. We have nothing in medicine. I guess if you tied helium balloons to each person's armpits and had them suspended where they couldn't hit the ground, we might be able to do it. Yeah. But nothing rivals Tai Chi, in my experience and knowledge, in preventing hip fractures, which are a massive problem, not only in morbidity, but there's a 50% mortality in the elderly. 50% of people who break a hip will die within 6 months.
Yeah. Dr. Young, I know that, well, first of all, one would say that Tai Chi and Qigong, these are things that can be done by people of any age. Children can do them. And they are things that one could do for your entire life and probably would be good if one did. But a particular interest of yours has been potential benefits for older people. And I'll put myself in this category. For people over 50, what do you think are the particular benefits for people who are in the second half of their life as opposed to the first half of Tai Chi practice?
The benefit, first, we have to look at the traditional training, the goal of the training. It's looking for balance. Also looking for the tranquility in life and stress reduction, and cultivate a positive attitude toward life. Then, in addition to that, and then you work on the physical part. I think based on that the big goal there, the curriculum was designed to accomplish that. Hmm. So I think the curriculum and the benefit can work on any age group. And then, for example, but you need to do some modification when you work with a special population. I would say overall the benefit is holistic, and then it can work with any population age.
Oh. Given the fact that this is something that can be a lifelong practice, how long does it take for a student to learn what he or she needs to learn, at least to get a basic kind of a benefit? I mean, how long does it take you to teach people what they need, at least to start?
It's a wonderful question here. The key, I think, is the quality of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. If you have the traditional essential curriculum, our study at the University of Illinois showed for the immune part, 3 weeks after our older adults practiced this curriculum, their antibody improved significantly compared to the control group. For the strength part, we saw significant change at the end of 2 months. So the benefit, you can really realize the benefit very fast. Again, the key is, are you using the traditional curriculum a lot? Mm-hmm. Because that's the wisdom from the masters, combined expertise from Chinese medicine, philosophy, and existing exercise. And then, but the traditional curriculum is simple but profound. If you practice, start with a simple curriculum, but an essential curriculum, you can realize the benefit very soon. And then from there, once you get the benefit, and then you continue, you deepen your understanding and the benefit and broaden the benefit.
Yeah. I'm curious. I want to ask Alice Cheskett. Dr. Young was talking about the importance of balance, and he was talking about that in a literal kind of way. He was talking about literally about having good balance to prevent falls. There no doubt has to be another way of thinking about balance. You were talking about the fact that you felt the practice had not only been good for you physically, but in a sense had been good for you mentally, spiritually. It affected your mood. It affected your ability to deal with whatever life was going to throw at you. If you think about balance in a different kind of way, do you think that somehow that this practice has made you to be a more balanced kind of person?
I'm sure my friends would say so. yes, there is a physical balance and a real payoff in doing Tai Chi for physical balance. And since our friend over here, the physician, and I live in retirement communities. We see people with balance problems constantly, and I encourage every one of them to try Tai Chi because it can minimize the danger of falling. So that's the physical part. Then there is what would be the mental, the psychological, you could use the word spiritual, emotional, and so on, which is the balance in life. And I think Tai Chi, the longer you do it, the more you become involved in that kind of ability to balance out life's, well, problems. And you're able to handle them better. I know being a university professor is a stressful situation while you're doing it, but as you get older, you have other kinds of stress, and you're able to probably handle them better. I feel that it has helped me a lot.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word spiritual because people might react to that, but psychologically, mentally, there is a balance, and also you bring the energy that you gain from Tai Chi to this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to ask Dr. Siders, as someone who was trained in Western medicine and practiced Western medicine and now have done Tai Chi, and obviously you feel that for you it has had a great benefit, and I'm sure that you know a lot of other people, you would say, yeah, for as far as you could see, for them it has a great benefit too. If I ask you this question, well, as someone trained in Western medicine, what do you think is going on? Why is it possible to say what about the practice produces the desired effect? Do you have an idea?
Most people are resistant to exercising. They will do better if they get into any type of a class for exercise because it reinforces their attendance. The group will keep you going until you start to feel the benefits yourself. How it works, the mechanism of action, is something that's somewhat of a mystery. But you will see phenomenal cases in neurology. I think of a neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins who treats intractable epilepsy by taking out half the cortex of the brain, which should, by our understanding of neuroanatomy, leave people profoundly hemiplegic, as might occur with a stroke. And yet these young people, age probably not more than 20, have this. They will have a period of hemiplegia. But over 18 months, they can regain control of the impaired side of their body because the remaining cortex of the brain will control both left and right. This is totally alien to neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. But it is clear that there is neuroplasticity, and some parts of the brain can take over missing functions, and I believe that Tai Chi is a way to wake up that ability in the brain to do so. That's a guess.
Hmm. Well, I'll ask Dr. Yang, what do you think is happening in the body, and why is it that you think that Tai Chi practice has the benefits that it does?
Overall, I think the studying the mechanism is just at the very beginning stage because it is at the very beginning stage we bring the traditional curriculum into the research domain. And in terms of mechanism, specific mechanism, and then here we can have one example like to talk about why in our study, it's a small study, it's a pilot study, it's just a proof of concept. But from the data, we can say why when we practice only 3 weeks and we find this significant change. Like Dr. Zider just mentioned, it's just a hypothesis, it's just a guessing. And then one of the mechanisms we can think is the practice, especially the meditative practice, will change the autonomic balance. In this case, it's decreased the sympathetic tone in our nervous system, which will increase the ability to challenge. So that, in that sense, that improve our immune ability there. Another mechanism is we find enough anecdotal evidence there is after you practice the traditional curriculum, people's sleep quality improved significantly. I think once you improve your sleep quality, your immune function improved better. So there's different ways. This is just one example of thinking about why this ancient practice can improve our health in different aspects.
We're at our midpoint here, and just for the benefit of anyone who might have tuned in, I want to introduce all of our guests again. Last person you heard speaking is Dr. Yang Yang. He is someone who has been, for more than 30 years, practicing and teaching the old Chinese spiritual and physical disciplines of Tai Chi and Qigong. He has a PhD here from the University of Illinois, and in fact, the focus of his work that led to his PhD was this kind of the subject that we've been talking about here this morning, the particular benefits of the practice of Tai Chi for older people. He's been doing that work here for quite a long time. He's director of the Center for Tai Chi Studies of Champaign in New York City. He is adjunct professor of kinesiology at the U of I. And as I mentioned back at the beginning of the program, in 2006, he was named Qigong Master of the Year by the 9th World Congress on Qigong and Traditional Chinese Medicine. Also here in studio, Alice Cheska and Dr. Bob Siders, both of them have been practitioners of Tai Chi and are here to talk as far as they, from their own experience, about what the benefits have been that they have seen. I think Alice studied with a student of Dr. Yang's. And Dr. Siders, you actually were in a class that Dr. Yang led. One of the things I know people would want to know here, because Tai Chi is the kind of thing where you can't really learn this from a book. You have to have a teacher. You have to have someone physically there who will show what you need to do, and then who will see what you're doing and say, "That's not quite right. Here's what I would like you to do." Let's say for people in Champaign-Urbana, what sort of opportunities are there for people to be in a class and to at least try it out and see how it does for them?
In Champaign, we have the Center for Tai Chi Studies, and we offer weekly classes. And actually, the new class will start January 17th from 5:30 to 6:30. That's a level one class. For the people interested, they can call 356-4348. And talk to Mr. Mike Reed to register for this class. And also we have a joint program with Audi, which is part of the university program. That class will start January 29th. And also, as Alice just mentioned, we have a wonderful senior program at Clark Lindsay and other locations affiliated with Center for Tai Chi Studies. We either train the instructor or provide the instructor for the different locations.
All right, very good. So, indeed, for more information, the best thing that people could do is simply would be to call the Center for Tai Chi Studies in Champaign. Are you in the telephone book?
Yes. No, just to call 356-4348. Or go to our website, which is www.Center for Tai Chi spelled as TAIJI.com.
All right, very good. We do have a caller here who I think would like to come into the conversation in Paxton. This is line number 4 right here. Hello.
Hi, David. Very interesting program, and Happy New Year to you and your guests. Couple of quick questions, and I'll ring off. I was very interested in what I believe one doctor said about his leg, where the Tai Chi improved the function, not necessarily the structure, but it did improve the function. I don't want to get into any personal diagnosis. I did have one quick question for you. My wife is 40, and she has a bulging disc and some cracked vertebrae, and we're quite concerned because the only way she can alleviate her pain is through cortisone shots, and she's looking at surgery probably within the next 18 months, and it's going to be quite debilitating. And from what everything I've heard, surgery with the spine is only a 50-50 proposition. I was wondering, something like Tai Chi, matter of fact, even that for acupuncture, do you think there would be any benefit in at least attempting to do that? On top of all these problems she has, she's also a dance instructor. So, I was interested in the balance part of it, and also perhaps if there could be any real improvement non-surgical with this method. And I'll go ahead and ring off. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Well, I don't know. Either maybe Dr. Zeiders would like to make some comment.
The gentleman is describing a bulging disc putting pressure on a nerve root, which is a structural problem. It can improve with cortisone injections temporarily, as they will reduce the swelling that puts pressure on the nerve root. But that generally, those nerve blocks will only last 6-9 months. What I've seen in the past is that you do them 9 months, then the next one's needed in 6, the next one in 4, the next one in 3, and you can buy a lot of time, and you may be able to postpone the surgery. But many people, particularly younger people, will need the surgery. However, the question is, might this be an alternative to surgery, or might it further postpone it without the cortisone shots? I submit that the only way you would know would be to try, and with a good instructor. But the one thing that intrigued me with the story is that she's a dancer, and movement to a dancer is a source of joy. Mm. I would think of all the painful exercises you could try to do to get rid of pain from sciatic nerve root irritation. To a dancer, the movements, the flowing movements of Tai Chi would be a delight. And I think her ability to stick with the program long enough to see if there would be benefit, perhaps in 8 weeks, I think she would stick with it. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and it's what I had with my leg, you can be totally a victim and just say, well, there's nothing that can be done. I'm out of luck, tough out of luck. Or you can say, I want to do something about this. I want to take an active role in controlling my problem so that my problem doesn't control me. This was my philosophy in practicing rheumatology. You should be in charge of your arthritis. Your arthritis should not be in charge of you. And it's a give and take between you and your health problem. This would be a wonderful way for her to take charge. I cannot really imagine how it would do any harm. And it would be worth a try, clearly worth a try. Again, the reasons for benefit, she loves motion. So the exercise would be ideally suited to her. There is a mental calm, which gives us acceptance of pain. Pain is, you have a peripheral source of it, but that pain signal is modulated in the brain. And how you deal with it is more of an intellectual or cognitive function than it is the problem at the nerve irritation.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Dr. Young, do you think that it is the case that for particular people who have problems with their backs, that Tai Chi has some benefit, particularly if the issue has to do with the alignment of the trunk and people's posture and the way that they move, that by working on that some people might find it helpful?
I would say yes. And in general, when you practice the static Qigong, which is the sitting, standing, lying down, one thing you are working there is to work on the awareness of your body. Mm-hmm. And once you improve the awareness of your body will self-correct the wrong alignment. So in that sense, that's one mechanism Tai Chi and all static Qigong can help and people with back issue there. And another thing is there's an old saying in the Chinese healing art, why Qigong has the healing effect. It is because it cultivates relaxation and tranquility and happiness. Mm. So in this case, this gentleman's wife's case, and she's a dancer, and then my suggestion is to try some static qigong, which is the standing, sitting, and lying down. And, you know, because she's a dancer, and then she might has been moving a lot, and then by practicing the static, the meditative part, which might help her. Again, the key issue is find a qualified teacher. Mm-hmm. That's the key.
An interesting thing is the use of traction for people who have lumbar disc disease. The X-ray or radiograph will show a narrowing of the disc, which would make one shorter, and compress the disc where it bulges out between the two bones, putting pressure on the nerve root. If one is in a supine position with traction applied to the pelvis, you can distract those bones. The bulge becomes less apparent, and the pressure comes off the nerve.
So you're actually talking about like putting people on the rack.
You're
stretching them out.
That's exactly correct. Now, when I was in the Tai Chi program, one of the things that we kept talking about is we would sit there on the front edge of a chair for perhaps 15 minutes with sitting meditation. The comment would be made very softly, make yourself a half inch taller. And then they would say, as soon as you had done that, make yourself another half inch taller. And you could feel what you were doing with your posture. Mm-hmm. Of course, with your eyes closed, you would then slowly slouch again. But if this verbal cue was brought out, you would almost picture yourself distracting the pressure. Only instead of laying in a bed with weights pulling your pelvis away from the rest of your spine to provide the distraction, you're actually using improved posture to accomplish the same thing.
Hmm. One more thing I want to add here is, you know, Tai Chi, again, emphasizes balance. And when you do standing meditation, and when you emphasize the relaxing part, your body can be very heavy. What that generally the benefit is, it's a weight bearing, so which is very good to prevent osteoporosis for a woman and for men too. Yeah. And then in the meantime, you know, when you sink your body, and then you generate some pressure on your spine. So the question is, how we balance that part? In a traditional training, you do lying down qigong, which is you elongate your body. So you get both benefits. You elongate your body. You have a good alignment of your spine. And you also have vertical practices when you stand up, and then you're working on your bone density. Mm-hmm. So the question is, based on specific situation, you can pick which part you need for your specific condition. In this case, I wouldn't recommend you try too much standing meditation, but you can try more lying down meditation to elongate your spine, elongate your body, which might help you to reduce the pain in this case.
Yeah. Just it makes me, one of the things that this your comment makes me think of, and this is, I think, probably for some people very surprising if they've seen people do Tai Chi, because it is a very slow and gentle form of exercise that apparently doing it, even though it doesn't look like people are working hard and they're not sweating, it actually burns a lot of calories. It actually uses a lot of energy to do it. And I'm sure some people, if you'd watch people doing it, you'd think, well, that doesn't really look like they're working terribly hard. But one of the benefits of this kind of exercise is, and indeed it does burn calories.
Yes, actually the philosophy there is, if you want accomplish quickness, you need practice slowness first. Mm-hmm. If you want to reach power, hardness, you could practice relaxation and softness first. And then eventually you have more power. You can move faster than you jump into the fast and hardness first. So that's different, completely different philosophy. And then, which makes sense, you know, sometimes when we have classes in Champaign, some student came to class to observe the class, they say, oh, this is too slow. I said, you haven't seen the slower part, which is you don't move. And which actually it's the big issue in the research and public health domain. People equate Tai Chi to slow movement. Mm-hmm. But in the traditional training, you have to do the meditative part, the slow part. Once you do the slow part, I can give you one example of the benefit. You really improve the awareness of your body. Once you have better awareness, you have better alignment, you have better efficiency. You know, from science point of view, it makes sense too.
Mm-hmm. We have about 10 minutes left, and I have a couple of callers I promise I want to get to. Oh, yes, and one of our guests here, Alice Cheska, wants to. I want to make sure that I get you in here. You want to add something on?
What I want to add is the fact of mental imaging. It seems quite important mm-hmm. to people mm-hmm. who practice Qigong, and we use a lot of mental imaging in our classes. And the way you hold your arms also adds strength to your body. I'm much stronger in my upper body than I ever was, even when I was a dancer. Really has changed that perception of mm-hmm. life for me. The mental imaging allows you to take your mind to different parts of the body where you literally see your energy being put to use. And I find that part, as I get older in the practice of Tai Chi, extremely important, and more so as one advances in the movement of Tai Chi or of the meditation of being a still.
Yeah. Well, let me very quickly go around and introduce everybody. Dr. Yang Yang is director of the Center for Tai Chi Studies of Champaign in New York City. He's an adjunct professor of kinesiology at the U of I, someone who has been a lifelong practitioner of Tai Chi and Qigong, and also is one of those individuals, and I think that there are a number of them here in the United States, that have been doing studies, scientific studies of Tai Chi practice to try to establish the benefits that perhaps before people talked about that were anecdotal in a sense. And we've talked about some of these things, improvement in mood, improvement in strength, improvement in balance. Also things like lowering blood pressure and improving blood sugar for people who have diabetes and improving immune system function. A lot of things that were said to be benefits. And I'm sure that the mainstream medical community, their attitude was, yeah, okay, you show me. And now there are a number of studies that indeed demonstrate that what was anecdotal before, we do have some studies that says, yes, in fact, we do see these benefits. And Young has been teaching that for some time and has been worked with a lot of people. He's trained instructors. Alice Cheska has studied with one of Dr. Yang's students and with him too. And also our other guest, Dr. Bob Zeiders, who's a retired rheumatologist, physician from Carl Clinic, has also studied with Dr. Young. And they're here to talk a little bit about their own personal experiences. Questions are welcome. And I lost somebody, no doubt, because I nattered on too long. My apologies. If that person in Terre Haute wants to call back, we'll be happy to talk with them. We do have somebody here on a cell phone, though. We'll do that. Our number, line number one on a cell phone here. Hello. Go ahead.
David, another wonderful show, as usual. I have a very simple question, and it may have been answered already, but I got you later. Where do you guys sign up?
Well, we said before that if people were interested in classes, that you can call the Center for Tai Chi Studies in Champaign. And in fact, Dr. Yang said there is a class that will be starting on the
17th. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wonderful. That's what I wanted to find out. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and this just reminded me that. So I'll check into it.
Okay. Very good. And
thank you.
For other people who are interested, they do have a website, which is the Center for Tai Chi, that's spelled T-A-I-J-I, .com. Okay, that's a .com. Also, you could call 356-4348 and get more information on the class that's starting soon. That's like, I guess, in about 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And we do have another caller. Maybe that is our Terre Haute caller calling back. It is. Line number two. Hello, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I was worried that I wouldn't have enough time. Really, all I have a question. What I have is severe. My lower back has no discs any longer. I had them all removed because of accidents that I had, and they didn't fuse the disc, the vertebrae, because they said I was too young for a fusion. I don't really understand all of that. And so what I have is bone on bone, and because of that, I have severe pain, for which I am on a lot of medicine. And I have weakness in one leg. I walk with a cane, and I'm very young. I'm 45 years old. And I'm wondering if something like this might, you know, give me a little bit of my life back.
Well, again, it's kind of it's obviously hard to know
to do over the phone,
but I'm sure in a general sense, I don't know. Maybe Dr. Young would like to respond. What do you think? Just based on what
you do, do you know of anybody in Terre Haute that does this sort of thing?
Terre Haute,
Indiana.
I don't know anybody doing this in Terre Haute and Indiana, but I can give you a general advice. There is you mentioned you have the pain and also. You know, you're very young there, and I would say try some lying down relaxation and meditation. So actually, in general, it's pretty simple there, and then you lay down there, and then lay down your back comfortably, and then put your hands on your stomach, and then just to think about focus on the energy on your stomach, which is in Chinese medical term is dantian. And that, which is a way of leading you to go to relaxation and tranquility there. But if you like to use other techniques, for example, counting the numbers or repeat some keywords there, I think the relaxation will help you to some extent to reduce the pain. That would be okay. One simple suggestion.
Thank you very much.
All right. My pleasure. Well, thank you. Otherwise, I suppose you can he could look in the telephone book, wherever he is. If there is a university near him, that might be a place that he could find someone who might teach Tai Chi.
Yes, it's possible.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk with someone else here. I think Burlington. This is line number four. Hello.
Yes, hello. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if Dr. Yang could tell me how you would go about finding a qualified teacher, since I'm not in the Champaign area. And then I also wondered how often and how long you should practice Qigong and Tai Chi. And if you did just did Qigong, would that give you those benefits?
I would say in general, practice, again, the key is the right curriculum. That's very important, but in general, is a little bit of practice is better than non-practice. A little bit more practice is, you know, better than you practice just a little. So, I would recommend to practice every day, mm-hmm. And then I would start with the qigong part, which is the standing, sitting, lying down qigong. Start with that part, and if you have more time, you can gradually add tai chi movements there. Mm-hmm. That's the general thing. And then in terms of how to find a good teacher, and then I have a chapter in my book specifically talking about how to find a good teacher. And then, but in general, the name of the book is Tai Chi Quan, The Art of Nurturing the Science of Power. You can go to my website to find the book.
Okay.
And but in general, you can say, look at whether this teacher get from a good traditional lineage there. That's very important. Lineage means these people get qualified training.
Okay.
From a good tradition. And also look at whether this teacher is willing to share what he learned. Sometimes it's not the case. Maybe people learn but do not want to share. So, again, overall, good quality and willing to share. That's very important.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. We're almost to the point where we have to finish up. Someone, though, off the air was interested in Dr. Yang, where you learned. Who did you study with?
I grew up in northern China at a place very close to the original place of Taiji. And I was having a very serious health problem. And then I started this and then improved my health significantly. That's how it gradually bring me into the belief that I can share this healing experience with other people with different health issues. That's how I started. And then also I came to this country and studied the kinesiology, which is an excellent opportunity for me to look at Tai Chi and Qigong from a Western science point of view. So we can really exchange the idea and build the bridge to understand the culture from a different point of view.
Yeah. Now, there is one of the great schools of Tai Chi is the Yang School. Are you one of those? I know there are a lot of people named Yang in China. Is that your family?
It's a Yang family. That's not my family, unfortunately. Oh. And then, but it has been always a big joke at a national conference. That people always say, hey, you know, you should do Yang style. You'll be very legitimate. But here it tells us a question. It doesn't matter which style you practice. Mm-hmm. Yang style, Qin style, Wu style, whichever style you practice, doesn't matter. The key is the essence of the tradition. If you get that, no, doesn't matter which style you practice.
Yeah. Well, we're at the point here where we're going to have to stop for this hour. But certainly for people who are in Champaign-Urbana, if you're interested in the possibility of studying Tai Chi, you can go to the website of the Center for Tai Chi Studies, which is directed by our guest, Dr. Yang Yang. It's www.centerfortaiji, and that's spelled TAIJI.com, and you can find out about classes that are available. And there is a class that will be starting on January 17th. So if people want to do this, they can do that. Otherwise, they also people can look for your book, which is, tell us again the title of the book. The title is Tai Chi Chuan, The Art of Nurturing the Science of Power by our guest Yang Yang, and it's published by Zhen Wu Publications. So people can go out and look at that book. And also I would like to say thanks to our guest, Dr. Bob Zeiders, and also Dr. Alice Chescott. I don't want to cheat anybody out of their PhD. It's not a small thing. And you were a former professor of kinesiology here at U of
I? I came as the head of the Department of Kinesiology is now what we call it. It used to be called physical education.
Uh-huh. And when was that?
1966.
And both of them, Dr. Cheska, Dr. Tires, both of them are practitioners of Tai Chi. So you guys figure you'll be going on with us for
as long as
you possibly can?
Right.
Yes. All right. Very good. Thank you all very much for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Well, that's it for us here on Focus, though. Up next is the Afternoon Magazine. Celeste Quinn is the host. She'll be with you for the rest of the afternoon.
Thank you very much, David. Coming up today in the 1 o'clock hour of the Afternoon Magazine, we'll take a look at the evolution of public life in America from the colonial period to the present. Our guest will be Morton Keller. He is the author most recently of America's Three Regimes, A New Political History. Keller is a Brandeis Professor of History Emeritus. He'll join us following the 1 o'clock news. Let's take a look now at commodity prices in Kansas City. March wheat, $9.59. That is up 23. In Chicago, March wheat, $9.30.